I invite your attention this morning to the book of Luke chapter 9 as we continue our study in that book, the life of Jesus Christ. This morning the challenge is take up your cross. We're going to talk about discipleship today. What being a disciple means, what it is, and what it looks like. Luke chapter 9 verse 23. I love that song, Brother Michael. Thank you so much. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious and holy Word? And as you read, I just want to remind you, this is the Word of God. I hope you came this morning to hear from God, not from a preacher, not from a music person, but I hope you came to hear from God. So as we open these pages and look upon these words, I just want to remind you, this is the Word of God to you. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, Jesus is speaking here. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." Let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. This morning I want to begin with a question. You love it when I start with questions, right? My question is this: are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? I'm not talking about one of the 12 apostles that Jesus called during his personal ministry. I'm talking about being a disciple. I'm not asking you if you're saved, even though if you're not saved, you need to be. You really, really need to be. I'm asking you if you are a disciple. You see, the word disciple means a learner or a student. Here, what we're talking about today, I'm talking about being a student of Jesus Christ. That day by day, every day that you get up, you're learning. You ever quit learning? If you ever quit learning, you quit living, okay? Day by day, you're learning. And through that learning, through that knowledge that you gain every day, you're growing in your walk with Jesus Christ. Are you a disciple? I want to ask you where you are right now, okay? Are you in that growing relationship? If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I'm going to share with you, to begin with, how to get started. How do I become a disciple of Christ? And it begins, number one, with forsaking yourself. Now, this is perhaps the most important part of the message this morning, okay? So you can listen up front and then forget the rest I say. Not really, okay? No. It's just that you've got to grasp this one point before the rest of it that I'm going to share with you will work. Okay? You must start first and foremost with forsaking yourself, or as Jesus put it, let him deny himself. You know what that word deny means? It means to disown. It means to renounce claim to yourself. Do you realize Jesus is saying, if you're going to be a disciple, the first thing you're going to have to do is say, I don't belong to me anymore. First step is realizing that this life is not about you. It's not about your likes or your dislikes. It's not about making you happy. But rather, it's about placing yourself, all that you are, in the hands of Jesus Christ to do His will. And listen, if you don't get this part, your ministry will be a life of misery. Okay? Your ministry will be a life of misery if you don't learn how to forsake yourself or deny yourself. Why? Because you'll always be somewhere that you're not happy with, that you don't like. Something will be going on that you disagree with. Something will be going on in your life that persecutes you as a child of God, and you'll ask yourself continually, why do I put up with this? Why am I doing this? Why am I going through all this headache? And I can tell you why. If you get this part, right, where you deny yourself, you'll know why. You're doing it for Jesus. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20, the Apostle Paul shared with us, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You don't belong to you anymore. And I realize this is such a difficult concept to deal with in today's market, in today's society, because every business, every television show, it's all about giving people what they want. It's all about telling people what they want to hear, doing whatever pleases them. So this is quite contrary to the focus of the world. First step in being a disciple, forsake yourself. Second step in being a disciple is to focus on your cross. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Two things I want to point out to you there. Number one, first of all, identify your cross. Number two, stick with it. Do you realize you're not here by accident? Okay? God is still in control. He made you who you are. He gave you the abilities that you have. And He has provided you the resources that you enjoy to give you a mission in this life. You realize Jesus had a mission, right? He didn't just... Jesus came... His mission... What was Jesus' mission? His mission was to go to the cross of Calvary. His whole life was built upon that. You said, "Brother Doug, what about all the ones He healed, the sick ones that He healed? What about those who were lame and he caused to walk, those who are blind?" All that was just compassion along the way. Loving along the way. Revealing who He was along the way. But His life was about Calvary. As a matter of fact, in verse 22, just prior to what we read, Jesus told His disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Everything about Jesus was pointing to Calvary. What's your mission? What's your cross? Okay? What is your cross? What has God put you here to do? I believe with all my heart. If you agree with me with this, will you please say amen? If you don't agree with me, you can just be wrong if you want to. But I believe that God has a special purpose for everybody here. Every person here. He's placed you where you are. He's equipped you with what you have to fulfill your ministry in this life. For me, it's being a pastor. Everything, you know, most of the things I focus on, I guess they pretty much point to Wednesday and Sunday. Okay? I mean, I come in on Monday morning, I come in and spend time in prayer and study. I'm preparing for either Wednesday or Sunday. Tuesday is the same way and Wednesday is the same way. And I may make a hospital visit here, or I may visit a family that visits the church there. And I enjoy and appreciate all that. Okay? But that's just showing compassion along the way. God has put me here to instruct in the Word of God, to equip you. And so therefore the main focus of my life, the main focus of my ministry is to equip you every time we meet. What is your focus? What is your ministry? You say, "Brother Doug, I don't know my ministry." So many times people often, they talk about, "Well, I'm searching. I know God has a special place for me and I'm searching, Brother Doug, but I just don't know what it is." Oh, yeah, you do. Look at your life. It's not physics and rocket science that we're talking about. Look at where you are. Examine where you are. Where do you work? Do the people you work with know that Jesus is a big deal in your life? Or if you were to tell them you were a child of God, would they go, "Really? Do you realize you work where you work because God has put you there? You're surrounded with the people you're surrounded with because God has surrounded you with those people for the impact that you can make in their life." What about your family? Do you have children? If you have children, say amen. It is your job, it is your ministry in this life to instill in them Jesus. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You have a ministry. It's not hard to figure out. Church. And I know so many say, well, you don't have to go to church to serve the Lord. Oh, you're wrong. You do. Okay? I'm sorry, but I can take you in the Bible and show you where Jesus Christ died for His church, where Jesus Christ loved His church, where we're even told to Him be glory throughout all ages in the church, world without end. I mean, everything points to God loves His church. Now, if God loves His church and God's children don't love His church, something's wrong. And I'll bring you some, give you some insight. God is never wrong, so it must be you. Okay? Must be you, or it could be me, you know, about having the wrong attitude. But I want to tell you, church is not just about coming on Sunday morning. Church is about having that opportunity to serve. Amen? I want to tell you, we had some service going on here last week. I was so blessed to be your pastor last week as Vacation Bible School went on. I was looking around. Ladies and gentlemen of the church were running after children. And there were a time or two I thought, wow, they're a little out of control. You know, what's going on? But you know what? Children heard about Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose. That's the point. I was so blessed to see those dedicating themselves to the mission that God had placed in their life, VBS. I'm so encouraged every week that we meet as I see our children's classes, I see our adult classes, as I see the nursery. By the way, we apologize for nursery today, but you know, we'll get that cleaned up and it'll be safe again next week. But my point is this: what has God called you to, and are you doing it? If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you've got to focus and identify your cross. And then you've got to stick with it. Oh, my friends, you got to learn how to be consistent. Daily pursue that mission. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, let him take up his cross daily. You know why he put that daily in there? Because a lot of times you throw that cross off and say, I've had enough. You ever done that? This is it. I've had all I can stand. I can't take any more. I quit. You ever do that? I'm the only one that's done that. Yeah, we do. But you know what? It doesn't take me long before I realize, oh, Doug, you're confused again. You're forgetting number one. Which, by the way, when these do not work... the taking up your cross, the following Jesus, when those are not working, just refer back to number one, because 90% of the time, they're not working because we're not forsaking ourselves. And I realize I'm getting this selfish attitude, this selfish mindset, and then I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Then I go back and take up my cross. Here we go again. See, there has to be a consistency. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Do you, day in and day out, even when it's rough, dedicate yourself to taking up your cross, fulfilling the ministry that God has placed you in this earth to do? Sometimes it gets hard, doesn't it? Sometimes it gets difficult. Do you ever think, why not put up with this? I've heard people make the comment before, why would I subject myself to such misery? I just happen to have the answer. You know, I went through years saying, well, I'll never pastor a church. I'll never pastor a church. I've seen what churches can do to preachers. I don't want any part of it. I'm not going to do it. No, sir, not me. No how. And you know what I was doing? I forgot number one. I wasn't forsaking myself. I'll tell you why you keep doing. Why do you keep doing Vacation Bible School? Why do you keep teaching Sunday school? Why do you keep working with youth? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus gave us the example. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why do you keep doing it? Well, you look to Jesus. Why did he do it? Why did he go to Calvary? Do you realize he could have called thousands of angels at any given point and put a stop to that sacrifice that was made on Calvary? He could have said, enough, I quit. But he didn't. You know what he did? He went to Calvary. He endured that cross for you and for me. And you know why he did? For the joy. For the joy. You realize there's joy in bearing your cross. You realize that? It's a good thing. All right? Yes, you come to those times when you want to quit. And yes, it gets difficult. And yes, sometimes you're abused. But you keep going for the joy. What's the joy? Here it is. Vacation Bible School workers, you worked last week, right? Why did you keep coming night after night? After Monday night, you saw what you were going to have to deal with, didn't you? Tuesday night was the same thing. Wednesday night was the same thing. Thursday night was the same kids. Why did you keep coming? Do you know why? I can tell you why. Because with what you gave to those children last week, you planted seed. The seed of the gospel. And one of these days, because of the seed you planted, one of those children will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if you want joy, you lead a child to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. I mean, it'll put a smile on your face and a song in your heart quicker than anything. Why do you do it? You do it for the joy. Don't look at how hard it is. Don't look at who's abusing you. Don't look at the difficulty. Look at the joy. When Jesus was hanging on Calvary, do you realize he was looking ahead in the future, realizing that one day Doug Hambrick would call upon him as Savior, and because Jesus paid for my sin, I could be saved. And Michael Weatherford would one day call upon him as Savior, and because of the sacrifice he was willing to endure on that cross, he could offer salvation to him and to all of us present. Why do you do it? Do it for the joy. There is joy. It's all a matter of what you look at. Don't focus on how hard it is, how difficult it is. We all know it's tough. And then, follow the leader. Learn to follow the leader. The word follow literally means to accompany as a companion. Be willing to go where Jesus goes. Be willing to go where Jesus goes. I've mentioned this several times, but I'm going to mention it again today. I truly believe that most of us do not follow Jesus because we're afraid he's trying to ruin our life. We're afraid that he's going to make us do something that we don't want to do. But I've always found out, yeah, there are some things that I thought I didn't want to do, but after Jesus took me there and showed me some things, I really, really enjoyed it. Have you ever done that? I'll tell you, don't ever say never. Because God will say, never, oh, what's this? He'll show you never. But from the beginning, as a disciple of Christ, be willing. When Jesus moves in a direction, be willing to move in that direction. Be willing to get involved. Be willing to follow. Ready to move. Don't just think that being a disciple is showing up at church every once in a while. Because that's not the joy. The joy is seeing God move. Okay? The joy is being involved in ministry that God is moving in. That's when it gets exciting. Learn to follow our leader, Jesus Christ. Then, let's talk about what disciples look like. Okay? What disciples look like. And we begin with the principle of a disciple. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to have a guiding principle. Are you ready? And you might write this down. I didn't leave you a blank for this, but write this down, okay? This is your principle. I refuse to waste my life. A disciple refuses to waste his life. And what I'm talking about, waste, I'm talking about focusing on the things that don't matter. I made the statement a long time ago, you know, if it doesn't matter 50 years from now, it doesn't matter today. Okay? What matters is what's going to have an eternal effect. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life seeking the things of this earth. Jesus said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That word save means to keep safe and sound with the idea, okay, I'm gonna protect my life. I don't want to do anything that could prove too costly or too threatening. You get up in the morning. You don't know what that day holds. But I want to tell you, it's good when you know who holds that day. And it's good when you know that no matter what the day brings or where you find yourself in that day, it's good to know that you have the attitude, I'm going to find myself serving the Lord there. You see, Jim Elliot, missionary who was killed in Ecuador by the Ecuadorian Indians, and great book. I forgot the name of it now. Eye of the Spear, something like that. But he made this statement. He said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jesus, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. You see, one of these days, you're going to come to the end of life. And when you come to the end of life, you're going to look back and you're going to say, did my life count? And what you're going to find when you ask, did my life count, is what you did for Jesus Christ is the only thing. Solomon put it, vanity of vanities. Everything apart from God is vanity, is useless, is a waste of time. The guiding principle in a disciple's life is, I refuse to waste my life. The guiding priority in a disciple's life, you ready for this one? God first. Plain and simple. You realize being a disciple is not hard work. It's not hard to figure out. It's just God first. Here is the priority. Jesus said, what profit is it to gain the whole world and for a man to lose himself? The first question that a soul comes to answer is heaven or hell. Once that question is answered, the second question is heaven or earth. It's where are you going to prioritize your life? Are you going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then let God add all the things to you, or are you going to chase the almighty dollar all your life? Are you going to live for the fact of, building that just right house and buying just the right land? And when you arrive in heaven, God's not going to be impressed by your bank account. Did you know that? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Everything about you. That's the priority. Heart, that's your desire. Soul, that's your inner self. Mind, thought. It means everything you think, everything that comes out of you, every action, every motivation. It's designed to be from the love of God. The priority of a disciple is loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. God first. And then the prophecy. The prophecy of a disciple. This is where this is the part I love. Okay? Do you know, and sometimes we forget to remind ourselves of this, but do you know Jesus Christ is coming again? Jesus Christ is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming. Do you believe it? He is coming. I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will raise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together. You know what caught up means? It means to snatch. If you're a child of God and that trumpet sounds, that voice of the archangel, you're going to be snatched out of your sneakers from this earth and you're going to be gone to meet the Lord in the air. I love that. Doesn't take me long to get excited about 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay? And we're going to be caught up together to meet Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. Jesus is coming back for you and for me. If you're a child of God. Now if you're not saved, you're familiar with the phrase left behind. But if you're a child of God, this day's coming. John, Revelation chapter 4, experienced it. Revelation chapter 4, John said, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Can you imagine? John, before he really gets into the prophecies of Revelation, he's standing there and he sees a door open up in heaven. And he heard that voice like a trumpet speaking with him saying, come up here. And I will show you the things which must take place after this. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne set in heaven and one sat on the throne. You realize John standing there. He sees that door open and the voice said, come here, John. And he was snatched out of his sneakers. And he was in the throne room of God. That day's coming. You understand? That day is coming. It's coming. Oh, Brother Doug, I've heard that forever. Don't matter. It's coming. It's coming. But what's going to happen when that day comes? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Paul shares with us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. When you're snatched from your sneakers, as I said, and you go to meet the Lord in the air, what's going to happen? You're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the judgment seat of Christ, the Greek word was bema, and it was where they gave out awards at the Olympic Games. It's designed to be a place of honor. It's designed to be that place where those victorious athletes are marched before that judgment seat, and they're awarded their award. That's what it's supposed to be. But in this case, we're going to receive the things done in the body according to what He's done, whether good or bad. That makes me sit up and take notice. That makes me go, huh? You see, I know in today's society, we live in an everybody wins environment. That's why we have participation trophies, because everybody's a winner, right? Jesus is not going to give out participation trophies. He's not. Okay? You showed up in heaven, so you get a trophy. No. 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 At this judgment seat of Christ, yes, it is intended to be a place of honor. But there will be those who've not been a disciple, who've wasted their life, who's pursued everything except Jesus Christ. There will be those at this judgment. Now, we aren't talking about saved people. If you're lost, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not going to be at this judgment. You're going to be at the great white throne judgment where the books are open and you find out your name's not written in the Lamb book of life. And you will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Okay? But we're talking about judgment of the saved here. What's going to happen? We're going to go before that throne, that bema, that place that was supposed to be the place of reward, the place where we were supposed to receive honor for the things that we've done in this life. But Jesus said in the text that we read, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his Father's, and of the holy angels." Now imagine this, if you will. I've heard people comment repeatedly, "Oh, I want to tell people about Jesus, but it just scares me. I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'll say something wrong." Well, listen, what you're afraid of is you don't trust Jesus. All right? If you're a witness, you've got to trust Him to give you the words to say. And besides that, saying nothing is the wrong thing to say. If you're worried about saying the wrong thing, saying nothing about Jesus is the wrong thing. But what's going on is that so often we find ourselves ashamed. Ashamed to take a stand. Ashamed to be identified as a disciple of Christ. Ashamed for the world to know. And I want to tell you, the world's getting tough on this. They're getting tough. That if you're a Christian, you are just a legalistic, uneducated nobody that don't know any better. That's the picture of the world. And it's the purpose of the world these days seems to belittle Christians. And more we see Christians who are backing up. Afraid I'm going to say the wrong things. And you know, it just slays me when preachers get up and they take a stand and they say things like homosexuality is wrong, and the news media comes in and they just flog on that preacher, and he backs up and says, "Well, let me just tell you what I really meant." Well, let me tell you what the Bible really says. Homosexuality is wrong. It is a sin. It don't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what Washington thinks. And it doesn't matter what a liberal media thinks. It's wrong. It's sin. Okay? But it's not just homosexuality. It's immorality, period. You know? And what's going on is people are forgetting to stand up and say, "No. I don't allow that in my life. I don't want to be a part of it. And I don't want you to identify me with that. Because I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ who gave His life on Calvary for my sins. And I'm going to take a stand, and it doesn't matter who it bothers." You see, we're forgetting how to do that today. We're forgetting. But one of these days, imagine that trumpet sounds. And we're snatched out of our sneakers. And we go before that bema, that judgment seat where we're supposed to receive honor. And Jesus, He goes down and this is my servant. He went to Africa. He sold his lands in America and he went over to Africa and he learned how to speak Somalian and he began to witness to the people. People came to know the salvation of God because of his efforts. What about this? This man answered the call to be a missionary in Columbia, Missouri. And he moved there where there was no church. And he began to build and he began to work. And won people to Jesus Christ. "This is my son. This is my child. Oh, I'm so proud of y'all. Good job." Then he comes over here to Doug Hambrick. And he says, "And this is Doug Hambrick, the one who was afraid to tell the people that he worked with about Jesus. This is Doug Hambrick, whom I gave riches. And he heaped those riches to himself. He never jumped on the mission wagon and sent out mission checks and enabled my missionaries. He never used his wealth for anything except his own benefit. This is Doug Hambrick, who was ashamed to take a stand when times got difficult and the pressure was on. He was ashamed of me. Can you imagine Jesus Christ, the Son of God, looking at our lives and just shaking his head? My goodness, you blew it. That's what he's talking about when he said, I'll be ashamed of you. Have you ever been ashamed of someone? Have you ever been ashamed of you? Now, listen, we've all had kids, right? Your kid ever done anything that kind of made you say, oh, man. It's kind of what we're talking about here. One day we're going to come to that point. And all of us who think we're doing so well because we show up to church when it's convenient. All of us who think we're doing so well because we build ourselves homes and save big bank accounts. All of us who think we're doing so well because of the good life that we enjoy here in the United States of America. One of these days we're going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to have a reaction to the life that you and I have been given and have lived on this earth. What is his reaction going to be? You know, there are times in my life, I'm sorry to admit, I know Jesus is going to have to say, Doug, you just didn't get it. Doug, you just didn't get it. Well, I want to tell you something. We can't do anything about yesterday. Last week, last month, or last year. What we can do is make the commitment today. I'm going to be a disciple. And I'm going to learn. And I'm going to grow. And I'm going to stand. And I'm going to serve Jesus come what may. I'm going to take my cross. And I'm going to follow. No matter what. That's what Jesus is asking for when he's speaking to this crowd. When he's speaking to his apostles, he's saying, I want you to sell out to me. I want you to be radical. Radical. I want your undying devotion. Where are you today? Number one, are you a child of God? If not, Jesus Christ died to save you, so that you may have eternal life. Jesus Christ gave his all so that you could have eternal life to pay for your sin. Have you received that sacrifice? If not, I'm going to ask you to come forward in the invitation. Brother Doug, it embarrasses me to walk in front of a crowd. Listen, no. Whoever's ashamed of me, remember? Don't be embarrassed. It's not between you and them. It's between you and God. Maybe you're here today and God's been calling you to a ministry for a long time and you've never answered his call. Challenge, take up the cross. Maybe you just need to spend time at this altar rededicating your life. Whatever your need is, I would challenge you. Will you let Jesus have his way? Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word where you speak to us. Thank you for this reminder, Lord, that you have called each of us to a particular and to a unique ministry. And thank you for the privilege. Lord, I pray that each of us today will renew our dedication to you. That, Lord, your will be done in our lives and that we will willingly, even gladly, take up our cross. And declare your goodness before this world. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.